This is Monitor at 14 minutes before the hour, and it's a good time for a new number, the Doodletown Pipers, and their version of Yesterday.
Dear Reb, with your Dodge Rebellion mailbox of the air.
Dear Reb, we need advice from you. Dear Reb, tell us what to do. Dear Reb, our Dodge Rebellion gal.
I'll write a letter, get an answer, radio pal.
This letter reads, Dear Reb, I'm a farmer and I'm tired of plowing around in my present cotton-picking car. My girl left me. What can I do? Signed, Old MacDonald.
Dear Mr. MacDonald, a tractor back with a new Dodge Coronet RT. A real performance car. 440 cubic inch Magnum V8, bucket seats, special tires. Plant yourself behind the wheel. Your problem won't crop up again.
A Dr. M.D. writes, I work long hours and don't have much time to drive my new Dodge Monaco. What can I do? Signed, Anxious Doctor.
Dear Anxious Doctor, I'm afraid you'll just have to have more patience.
Dear Rep, our Dodge Rebellion gal.
I'll write a letter, get an answer,
radio pal.
The Dodge Rebellion wants you.
Shrimp cocktail, roast turkey, sweet potatoes, cranberry sauce, pumpkin pie, mince pie, fruitcake, everything anybody could want for a Thanksgiving dinner except for one thing, home. That dinner will be eaten by American servicemen in Vietnam. But here are some of them.
This is Bill Humphrey from Baywood, Illinois. I'd like to wish my family a happy Thanksgiving, and on behalf of the whole crew on the USS Franklin D. Roosevelt in the South China Sea, a happy Thanksgiving to all.
This is Army Lieutenant Bob Reed. I'm stationed with the 173rd Airborne Brigade, Benoit, Republic of Vietnam. I'm sending this message of Thanksgiving greeting to my parents, Colonel and Mrs. Arthur J. Reed, who live at Quarters 2398, Fort Lewis, Washington. I'd like to say hi to both of them and the rest of the family, wish them a happy Thanksgiving, and that I wish I were home this year to enjoy all the good food with them. But I would like to let them know that wherever I am on Thanksgiving, the Army will be providing us with the best of chow, and I'm sure as much as we can eat.
This is Phil Mumon, journalist seaman. I would like to wish my wife Betty and my mother and father a happy Thanksgiving. At the present time, I work in the flag office. On behalf of the entire crew of the USS Ticonderoga, now serving in the South China Sea, may I extend my best wishes for a very happy Thanksgiving to all.
We'll be hearing from some more of our men in Vietnam later today on Monitor. and we'll be thinking about all of them. Monitor's talking cartoonist Al Kep calls himself an expert on nothing with opinions on everything. And today, he's going to speak frankly, generation to generation.
Every man has a second chance to be a hero to his grandson. No man can be one to his son, not for long, that is. Up to about the age of 12, you can swindle a son into believing you're smarter than anyone else and that you can lick anybody until he reaches maturity, which, of course, comes when he realizes that anybody is smarter than you are and that anybody can lick you even, and this is the toughest to take, even him. But if you can endure the embarrassment for a decade or two until your grandson comes along, you can become a hero to him and remain one. Well, I discovered the other night how not to lose your status as a hero to your grandson. The trick is, don't try to be one. I made that discovery the other night when I was driving in from the country with my grandson, Willie. He's 8, and he still thinks I'm smarter and stronger than anybody and have more spare quarters. Well, we decided to turn off onto a new superhighway. In a few minutes, of course, we were hopelessly headed the wrong way. Turning off the nearest exit, 10 miles along, that didn't help. A few turns and I was back on that monstrosity again, still headed the wrong way. Well, I repeated that stupidity 3 times. Willie, who, it seemed to me, hadn't noticed anything wrong, so immersed was he in his comic book, suddenly looked up from it and said, it's pretty stupid of us to be going the wrong way for the 3rd time, isn't it, Grandpa? Well, it was then I realized I was beginning to lose my status as a hero, and it was then that I made the wisest decision of my grandfatherhood. I deliberately threw my remaining hero status away. I confessed to Willie that I was baffled. I admitted that I was as helpless as a jackass on a treadmill and probably wouldn't get any smarter. Willie's hero-worshipping look vanished forever, I'm afraid, but it was replaced by another look, sort of man-to-man look, the sympathetic look of one imperfect guy to another. He pulled a road map out, and together we painfully spelled out a few key words, and together we worked out finally, the right exit to the right turn that would get us headed the right way home. Instead of leaving the problem all to me, Willie had helped me solve it. Well, I'm not a hero to him anymore because I needed his help, and heroes don't need help. But I have become something much more comfortable and enduring to my grandson. I become another guy, a bigger one, and with more spare quarters, perhaps, but a guy who, like Willie himself, gets lost sometimes and needs a hand, no matter how tiny. It's better than being a hero. This is Al Kep speaking to you on NBC's Monitor.
Former hero Al Kep, now just another guy, voices opinions every weekend here on Monitor. And he's just as much a softy about his grandson as anybody else, isn't he?
Hard to define, but easy to recognize. In color television, quality is easy to recognize by the name RCA Victor. For example, RCA Victor's big screen color consoles with a new Highlight 2 featuring Permachrome gives you full color fidelity from the moment the picture comes on. You get color so real, you'll think you are there. See a demonstration of the most true-to-life color TV ever at your RCA Victor dealers this coming week.
Now a Monitor News special. NBC News reporter Jeffrey Pond, here in Radio Central, talked with NBC News correspondent Garrick Utley in Munich about the latest developments in the West German state of Bavaria. They're having elections for a new 204-member state legislature.
Elections. This is the first time that the NPD, as it's known in West Germany, has run in Bavaria, and it's a major breakthrough for the what has been called the neo-Nazi party. For now, they have shown that they can pull a significant following in a major West German state. Another party which also increased its strength was the Christian Social Union, led by the very influential Franz Josef Strauss. They increased their strength by about 1% at the polls. And it's interesting, Jeffrey, because the success of the Christian Social Union is being credited to the fact that Strauss campaigned on the platform also of increased German nationalism. The sense of the results of the election being, therefore, that national feeling is rising in Germany, and the political parties which capitalize on this win at the polls.
Well, Garrett, going back to the National Democrats, is it quite fair to call them neo-Nazi?
Neo-Nazis is an easy term to use. It is not really quite accurate. The party does have former Nazi Party members in it, people who worked with and followed Adolf Hitler in the 1930s and early 1940s. But it also attracts a growing number of young Germans, and that is what worries older West Germans today. The fact that not only Nazis are belonging to its rank and file, but also students, young businessmen, salesmen, the man on the street. It is not a big party yet. It has about 23,000 members in it. It is still small, but it is growing. It still has potential in West Germany, and that is what worries Germans today.
Now, since the Christian Democrats, or at least their Bavarian wing, the Christian Social Union, has held its own, what effect's that going to have on national politics?
Well, as you know, Jeffrey, the West German political situation is quite unclear now. The major parties in Bonn are trying to form a new coalition majority in the West German parliament, and they've been waiting to see what the results would be in Bavaria before they went ahead with the coalition. An interesting sidelight on this, however, is that the small Free Democratic Party, sort of a liberal conglomeration of politicians in West Germany, may lose its seats in Bavaria. It's been a party which has been on the fringe of German politics for many years. It had strength in Bonn because it carried the balance of political power in the German parliament. But now it appears to have suffered heavily at the hands of the NPD in Bavaria. Its future is very much in doubt. The effect of the Bavarian elections, therefore, on the Bonn, on the national political scene, seems to indicate that the best minds here in Germany think that a grand coalition between the Christian Democrats, the party now led by Chancellor Erhard, and the Socialists, led by West Berlin Mayor Willy Brandt, is probably the likely result, the new coalition in West Germany. That will probably come in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Thank you very much, Garrick. That was Garrick Utley, NBC News in Munich. I'm Jeffrey Pond, NBC News, New York.
Interesting last-minute comment on the German elections. All the news and special news features on Monitor every weekend.
It's true, it's gone, the filter taste is gone. New Chesterfield filters have put true taste in a filter cigarette. There's Chesterfield name and years of fame behind this great new taste. There's great tobaccos, a filter too, to bring you true taste. It's true, it's gone, the filter taste is gone. New Chesterfield filters have put true taste in a filter cigarette.
Barry Nelson here reminding you to stay tuned for NBC News on the Hour.
The Speaker of the California State Assembly, Jess M. Unruh, will meet the press today on the NBC Radio Network.